Hello and welcome back to the On Point podcast. My name is James Pope, your favorite redhead from Region 9. Today, Luke interviews Avishai Deshpande and Caleb Mileta on crafting effective storytelling in duo interpretation. I hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Hello and welcome back to the On Point podcast. Today I'm joined by Deshpande Mileta, the duo team that won Black Mountain, North Carolina. Now, Avishai, I'm still trying to pronounce his name. This is his second year, as long as Caleb Mileta's second year. And last year, when it was their first year, they did duo together, which I think they won first qualifier, they got third at regionals, and then they got 19th at nationals. And then this year they made a comeback and they won Black Mountain, which was their first duo tournament, which is really cool, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Aside from duo, Avishai this year has qualified to nationals in Informative, in Biblical Thematic, as well as Lincoln Douglas. And then Caleb has broken a few speech events at two regionals, and he also plays 12th in Digital and broken Lincoln Douglas at Black Mountain. So I'm so glad that you guys could come on here and talk about duo a little bit more. So thank you guys so much for joining.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
thank you so much for having us.
Great. So both of you guys, or at least Avishai, you've done theater before. How long did you do theater?
Yeah, I've been doing it for 5 years. I was doing it in just a local community theater here. And it's like some of the best memories of my life. It's really my happy place.
When you were in theater, do you think that this is like obviously helped you a lot more with duos and interpretations? Are there like tricks and techniques that helped you out with interps that wouldn't have helped as much if you didn't have theater in the first place?
Oh, 100%. My parents told me that I was spending too much time in theater, so they signed me up for speech and debate, and I was a bit disappointed. Then I was like, I can act here. So I guess memorization for other speeches. One of my favorite things about duo is the blocking, which I love to do when my directors tell me, oh, you can just block the scene, you'll be fine. And I think that's really prepared us, and Caleb and I have done some pretty cool blocking stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. We're going to talk about blocking a lot more a little bit later on. And Caleb, this is your first year doing theater as well?
Yeah, this is my first year doing theater.
Okay. Is this something that you joined because of your work doing duo and you realized that you're pretty good at acting, or was it just Avishai that convinced you to do theater?
I think it was a mix of both, actually. I think that with duo, I realized that, well, I feel like acting will actually help me out a lot more because there are a few things that I was lacking in, like some blocking stuff that he's already learned and it's trying to teach me how to do. And I also thought it would be pretty good as like a personal thing as well.
Right. So you think that you're trying to take theater to help you out with interps and NCFCA a lot more, or do you just see it as like a completely different thing, different hobby that you're trying to pursue?
I think there's some aspects that are really helpful for NCFCA, but there are some things that I'm trying to achieve within acting that are obviously outside of the NCFCA.
That's great. All right. So let's talk about y'all's duo a little bit more. So you guys obviously won North Carolina, and I didn't actually watch your duo, unfortunately. I missed out on that, but I did know that there was a lot of people watching. There were probably like 100, maybe more people watching in the auditorium. And so were you guys nervous when you went into the final stage, or is this something that you kind of anticipated?
Well, I feel like you should answer this one.
So we were anticipating to break. I wouldn't say we were anticipating to make it to finals. It was like a dream that we had because we knew like, oh, well, we're pretty sure that our duo is good, but we just didn't know how good. Mm-hmm. And I think that with our duo, since it's a very much a silly and funny humorous duo, I think that it helped with a lot of the nerves because we knew that, you know, we're going to be having a lot of fun while doing it. So I think it took a lot of the nerves away.
Yeah. And something that I learned from someone that watched your duo, my dad actually, is that you guys actually had a whole standing ovation. What was your thought process after that?
I was, it was a crazy day. A lot of strange things that happened to us in particular mm-hmm. throughout Black Mountain. So when that happened, it was like the cherry on top, and everyone was there and I felt like crying because we actually had a couple scares for the duo.
Mm-hmm.
We had been called to compliance and it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
Seeing that really just reminded me how much I cared about Caleb and the duo, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I haven't watched it, but I'm sure you guys definitely deserved it. But now that we're on the note of the duo, what's your duo on? Can you give me a run through of what your duo is and like the storyline of it?
Right. So our duo is on the oldest modern novel, and it's called Don Quixote. So it's about this guy who really likes knights and chivalry and loves to read books about it. And then one day he decides he wants to become a knight. And so he rushes around the world trying to commit rites. And he has a bunch of friends that he makes along the way. And in particular, one's called Sancho Panza. It's a servant that he tricks into, becoming his esquire. And throughout, it's Sancho trying to ground Don Quixote. So Don Quixote will see a bunch of giants in the distance, and he's going to go and attack them. But Sancho sees reality, and it's just a bunch of windmills. So it's a very, very, very weird duo, but it's also very funny. And it shows off our personalities in ways that are sometimes a bit too real for comfort.
Do you feel comfortable going to the plot, or do you not want to spoil the duo to people who might listen to the podcast?
It's like a really old book, so I don't think... I mean, it's a pretty simple plot. He just goes around doing crazy stuff, and Sancho's like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. This is not what is true. And then he shows him what's true. Of course, Don Quixote doesn't believe him. And then in the end, he manages to get Don Quixote home. So the moral of this story is to be like Sancho. We say the line, we must become ambassadors for Christ. You know, we were thinking of a good impact just mm-hmm. outside of Don Quixote. And we were like, well, what aligns with the mission statement more than the actual mission statement? So we decided to make that the impact of Don Quixote. It's about finding the truth in a world where everybody's blind to everything but their own opinions.
That's really interesting. And this was an impact that you thought was implicit in the story, and you just kind of extrapolated that to the NCFCA mission statement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So how did you actually come across Don Quixote? Why did you pick it?
So it was actually his idea. So... some context for us picking this book. We actually had four other ideas before this, and they were mostly cut out. So we cut Don Quixote basically 1 month before Black Mountain and had it fully blocked by then. So Don Quixote came from the idea that, well, he had studied it 2 times in literature class.
Yeah.
So he was already well acquainted with the book, so we thought it would be a good idea, since we're limited on time, that if he brought something that he already knew, it would be easier to cut for us.
So I just shoved him into the deep end with a 1,000-page novel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be simpler to just go about a different novel that's shorter? Like, for example, a lot of people are doing Dr. Seuss novels, kid stories, because it's just really clear, really simple to communicate to the judge. And Don Quixote is just like 1,000 pages long, like you mentioned. So... why wouldn't you go about like just a shorter book, and why were you so like focused on doing Don Quixote?
I think the best answer is that one judge. You always get that one judge that's like, your blocking was great, your impact was great, you just lacked literary merit. And personally, I find that if you find a book that has a good message and has good potential, you should do it. Like The Great Turkey Walk from last year, Nats, great piece. It might not have the best merit, but it's definitely hilarious and shows you a good moral. Dr. Seuss, the one fish, two fish duo, one of my favorite yeah. ones ever. So I think it's the people that create the duo, but also having a duo that has great sources and just rich merit, definitely it helps.
So you were focused on the factors that could exhibit your personality more instead of like you mentioned, literature merit. I'm not sure... literature, anyways, that So you're focused more on a piece that could exhibit your personality a lot more instead of something that's thick or something that's really entertaining to the judges.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be Don Quixote. So was this book, was it easy to cut or was it really like a struggle that you guys went through?
I think that for a lot of people, it would have been a hard book to cut. But I think since we've gotten such a connection in like what we're looking for and what we're trying to achieve within a book, cutting has kind of become second nature to us. Like we just like cut the whole book within
like a weekend maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you guys already knew like the plot forward and back. You guys were already familiar with all the ins and outs. And so it was really easy for you guys to just cut out all the excess and focus on the main parts of the story. And that's what made cutting a lot easier for you guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So is it because Don Quixote was already pretty clear, or was it because of the cutting, you think, and the blocking that made the story make more sense to the judge? Because I'm doing a duo with my partner. And one of the greatest struggles that we go through is making sure that it makes sense to the judges, that the audience doesn't get lost. So how do you overcome that as you guys are working through your duo?
So, you know, we obviously have a lot of people in our lives that we just show it off to. And if they get confused, we do it again. I think one of our most confusing scenes was with, there's a climax with windmills and Don Quixote thinks they're giants, but we couldn't decide how to make a windmill look like a windmill without like looking either too basic or like way too flashy. Mm-hmm. And we ended up calling my lit teacher actually. we just asked her, we need to make a windmill. Please help us. And ended up settling on like some air guitar thing. And with some some clever scripting, a little bit of finagling with the words, we ended up getting a very clear windmill. So we unconfuse confusing things with just feedback from other people.
Yeah, and that's done through like blocking and feedback, like you mentioned. So with the blocking part, would you say that this was like the biggest struggle that you had throughout making this interp happen? Or just in general, what would you say was the hardest thing to actually put together? And either of you guys can answer this.
I would say the hardest thing for us was actually making the word count and the time go under 10, 15. Because we had, like, our brains, when we're together, they're just, like, a complete, like, mash of ideas. So just trying to sort through all of that and get the ones that actually made sense and were made clear to the judges. I think getting the script under 10-15 from a 1,000-page long book was probably the hardest struggle for us. But I think our blocking is actually what makes us like have the most fun. So it may seem hard, but it's actually just really fun for us to do together because he's done a lot of acting, so all of these blocking ideas really come naturally to both of us. Yeah.
How does theater and all of the practice that you've done through theater at Avishai, how did that translate into interps?
Well, a lot of things. So, okay. I think that interps are in a speech and debate league so that we can really focus on the character. And as an actor, one of my favorite roles to play is like a character deeply driven kind of a person. And interps give you that. So with acting, you have these things called tactics. It's where you look at the line and say, what's the motivation? Why am I saying this? And should I be saying this somewhere different? You know, what should I embody? And that's what acting can pull from theater. You have to show off, you have to be big. But for duo, you still have to be big, but you can tone it down. And you can really see what's going on in the actor's head. So last year, we were in a duo off of the Screwtape Letters, which is about two demons writing letters back and forth. And we pretty much like embraced the whole demon thing and did research on it, read books, read Bible studies on it. And we really used character development. And in theater, we often have like the CD week, character development week. is where we just write down like random sheets of paper about what I, as my character, would order at McDonald's. It's like putting yourself in their shoes. So really immersing yourself is something I pulled from theater and just threw Caleb into the pool of character development. It was very fun watching him suffer. It was fun.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. So really like the process to make your, I guess your duos come alive is to think about how your character would react to this information or putting yourself in your character's shoes. And you would say that's generally how you made the blocking more effective, or you thought up of some ways to make it come alive more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And how did you guys actually go about this process? What are some things that you guys did to connect with your characters more? And I want both of you guys to weigh in on this.
I think our favorite one we've done so far is, because Don Quixote is like a Spanish-based book, we started during our cutting sessions or character development sessions, we started playing flamenco Spanish guitar to help us like really get into the mood of the characters. So I think that's one of my favorite ways of, you know, actually getting into the character.
Yeah. We also just like stood facing each other and talked about like what our characters would be like. For Don Quixote, I told Caleb to be a zestily chivalrous Captain Underpants. That is what I told him to be. And he was like, you know, for Sancho, you have to be like Mr. Lunt. So we kind of pulled from other places and just like stared at each other, making funny voices and doing funny things for blocking. And whatever looked cool, we kept.
So you guys just went about the character development process using like these prompts that you gave each other. And you guys just used the text that you guys had in your duo? Or did you guys just improvise and just think up some random ways to incorporate that blocking?
We based it mostly off of text, I would say. But like we would randomly just jump around trying to figure out transitions. We have a horse character that was pretty hard to block, but I think we were satisfied with what we came out with at the end.
That's good. And this is for Don Quixote. So where would you see that these techniques could apply to different duos of different types? And how would you just, what approach would you use to connect with your character more, no matter what story it is? What would be the general process for someone who is doing a duo themselves? And yeah, Caleb, go ahead.
I think that when it comes to connecting with your character, it's really good to actually delve into, like, we use Spark Notes and we saw, like, the character backgrounds. So what we did was we took traits from our own lives and basically attached them with the characters that are most similar to ours. So being able to relate to the character in some way is definitely what makes character development a lot easier, is just like being able to, you know, make the character part of yourself and making yourself part of the character. It's like intertwining yourself with your character.
That's good. Yeah. So you would just read about the character, understand it's their own thought process, and then see how you relate to that, to see how you can show that character through your own strengths. Something around that sort. Okay.
Yeah.
Now with this blocking, it's really complex. You mentioned a couple of different things that you had struggles with, but I think one of the things that I've heard from people that you guys did really well is how choreographed you guys were. And this is something that you guys just picked up through consistent blocking and practice, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And I think it also comes a bit easier to us because of how long our friendship has been. So that there's that type of chemistry that, you know, that almost siblings have. Mm-hmm. That, like, you know when they're about to do something. So it makes it a lot easier for synchronization.
How often in your duo do you guys improvise? Is it something that you guys would recommend? Or is this just something that you try to follow the script all the way, no matter what?
Okay. So here's the thing. Last year, I did not trust myself or Caleb to do anything strange. But as we got further on in the year, I realized that I really wasn't having fun after a while. Like, it's the same script over and over. And this year, for final, like the final round, Caleb walks up to me before finals and he's like, okay, look, do you trust me? And I'm like, sure. Yeah. He's like, I got to do what I got to do. And he added so many things. It made the duo like 100% better. I had no idea what was going on behind me. And he was just dancing around, but I wouldn't recommend doing it for the first year. But once you get comfortable, and once you get comfortable with your partner and the duo itself, I think improvising is some of the best times you'll ever have.
Mm-hmm. So duos, it's with partners, and you have to focus on your partner as well as yourself. And it's not just, I think, good communication. Excuse me, not good communication. It's not just good blocking alone that merits a good duo, but rather you would say it's like the communication and the bond that you have with each other that really shows the personality behind each of you guys' characters. And that's really what differentiates a duo from other people's. Or do you think it's something else? What do you think differentiates a duo from other duos?
Well, okay. I don't know how to say this, but it's the duo should exist. The duo should exist before the duo, if that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, if you have a sibling that you're really close with, or a friend that you joined the league with, or someone that balances you out with your ethos, that duo should be strong before the speech should be strong. So you can do anything. You could do a 1,000-page-long book, or you could do a 10-page-long book. But as long as your duo is strong before your duo is strong, I think you're good to go.
So you think what differentiates duos from other people's duos is the bond that you guys have with each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
That's cool. And so moving on, how do you guys think that this duo particularly was seen as the number one best duo at North Carolina? Are you guys really surprised about that? And furthermore, what do you think separated your duo specifically? I know you talked about the bond that you guys have with each other, but is there any other element besides that, that you guys were just like, wow, this duo is amazing, man. It's going to win nationals.
So, we had no idea that we thought we were going to get like maybe at maximum,
like finals,
like at maximum, like podium.
Yeah.
Never thought about actually winning it. It was always just like this lofty dream. But I think what our judges saw in our duo was just the, not only our bond, but I think, it's a culmination of everything, really. The impact, the literary merit, the blocking. I think that, you know, what separates a good duo from a great duo is just like being able to achieve a higher standard on what like all duos have in common. So I think it's just like really minimal stuff that the judges saw that they had preferences over, you know, the other duos below us.
Right. So like the little improvisations that you guys made like last second. That's really interesting. Is that something you guys are thinking about adding more often to your duos, or is it too risky?
Maybe for finals. You know, we had some problems last year because we would change our duos blocking again and again and again in between rounds. Mm-hmm. And it ended up just being a different duo every time. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned our lesson from that. Mm-hmm. You know, we just weren't in sync. So I think you can change your duo as much as you want, as long as you do it together and that you know what you're doing. So you
That's
can
good.
Improv, you can do anything. Just make sure your buddy's there with you.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons why I personally am not going to do an open, because it's fine for me to embarrass myself with a friend, but if I'm doing it by myself, I'm not going to do that. But on a different note, to someone who might be struggling with clear communication or effectively telling the story of their duo in a clear manner so that the judge follows, the audience follows, but it's really just murky at the moment. How would you suggest some steps to fix this, to make it more clear, to make it more simple? Either of you guys can jump on in here.
Okay, so there, my older brother taught me this technique. It was basically, if you can explain the storyline to a 10-year-old, pretty sure your judges will be able to understand it as well. So it's just like, how do I make the duo understandable as well as entertaining for a 10-year-old that a judge, 30 or 40 years older would be able to understand? And I think it's just going into that mindset. It's just like, well, like if you're dealing with like a really complex theme with like, oh, let's take one of our themes was like, it was like, how do we get other people to acknowledge their opinions that are, maybe different from ours and lead them to the light? We were thinking of it in a way that we can just simplify that down by thinking, well, how do we just bring people to the light instead of trying to make all of these like little things, trying to make it more
Oh,
impactful?
yeah.
If we just simplify down the impact, but make it still what you're trying to communicate, I think that can add a lot of clarity to your duo.
Also, something that could be cool if you're struggling, like on the ballot, they say like a clear beginning, middle, and end. A way you can do that is by stealing the chapter headings. So, like chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And we use that in like almost all of the duos that we made. And the cool thing is that you can take stuff out of context in duo. So you can take maybe a line or something and use that as the beginning header, and then transition to the middle and then to the conclusion. So it's like you can have the judges kind of have a little break. It's like when you see your roadmap in like a platform, you like know that's what you're gonna do and how you're gonna do it. So I think having little chapters can give you some clarity if you're having some trouble communicating to the judge.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And definitely going to think about that for my duo. But on a note that you mentioned, Caleb, that I thought was pretty good, is on you ever watch those like YouTube videos or whenever they come up where it's like this really professional person and they explain this really complex, intricate subject to a 10-year-old and then to someone that teaches it and then someone who's a PhD. I think the same principle can be applied to duos, especially when it's something that can be so complex, like Don Quixote. It has so many different levels that can be analyzed, but at the same time, something that can be understood by children is it's a good concept to try to communicate it to someone who has very little understanding, so that people who have a lot of understanding can even more understand it a lot better. So that was a really good insight there, Caleb. I appreciate that. And as we start wrapping up here, what would you guys or would you guys recommend just interps in general? Would you recommend this process, this speech to anyone really? Is this something that you think is only for a particular set of people, or would you recommend anyone to try it? And both of you guys can weigh in here if you want.
Yeah, I am a theater kid, and I will suggest acting to anybody. I love telling stories, and I think interps will be good for anyone. I know there's people who say, "Oh, I'm not an interpreter. I can't do this. I can't." But you can. Like, I started out in a weird place, and I'm convincing my brother, and he's doing an OG. And I think interp is good for everybody. It allows us to tell a story, and God loves us. God loves to tell our stories, and if we get to like just be able to mimic that a little bit, you should do it. These interps will be able to spread impacts and stories that we can't do throughout our speeches, and it's just something special.
Yeah, and I
What are
think
some
that
tips?
interps.
Oh yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I think that interps, especially, they help you with unlocking a new set of confidence, because when you're stuck to just doing platform speeches, you're just like standing in front of the judges. You're just like, oh, well, I'm informing you about this, this, and this. But when you're actually trying to portray a character, I think it gives you like a whole nother different like set of confidence, because it can enables it in, simply enables you to be able to like express your emotions and your feelings and basically a lot more in depth than if you were to just do a platform.
Yeah, both of those answers are really good. And what would you guys say are like some tips, some tricks that you guys picked up along the way maybe some shortcomings that you guys learned from last year's duo season that you guys have improved upon this season that you think might be helpful to anyone doing interps.
Check your shoes before entering your rounds. Try to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was, this was in our
quarterfinal round
at Nats. I forgot to check my shoes before coming into the round. Thank goodness they were black, but they were not dress shoes, so that's definitely a tip. Always check your shoes. I think another one would be don't change your blocking every single round, because you're going to mess up a lot more.
If you're ever stuck trying to figure out what's missing in your duo, A, show your club. And if you're independent or orphaned, as I like to say, find some teachers or moms around. I DM'd this duo to like five students, five of the best R9ers I've ever met in their duos, in their speeches, just as people. They give really good feedback. Just don't be afraid to show yourself out there. And it's going to hurt a little bit. We had to cut a lot of great things because of some feedback. But at the end of the day, a better duo came out. So we just have to be mature enough to hear that feedback.
That's good, yeah. And one final question before we go here. Do you guys have anything that you learned from these duos that is something that you applied practically to another aspect of, let's say, speech and debate, or just something in your life that you learned from duos that you could apply from learning them, from doing them, and all of that? Both of you guys can answer this if you want.
I think that going back to what I said earlier, interps definitely helped me achieve a new level of confidence. So I was able to, a lot of the comments last year that I got for my first year was that your speech was like really good, but you could have been more expressive, or you could have been more enthusiastic about your topic. And I think that like interps have definitely helped me go out of my comfort shell and be willing to express myself more in my actual platforms, as well as just my speaking style in general.
Yeah. Interps just help all around, I think. Like, people say that you can't put interp into a platform, but take it from me, my info has a lot of characterized words and stuff that people wouldn't consider to be platform material, but the interps can also connect you on a level that you can't get to by just speaking to them. It's like a higher plane of existence that you enter, and interps really get you there, you know, a higher form of communication.
Right. I guess every TED Talk should just switch to doing interps instead of speeches. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your insight about how you guys did your duo. And I hope to see great things from you guys in the future.
Thanks for having us. We're going to check you out at some tournaments too, you know?
For sure. All right. See you guys.